In the last episode, we dealt with two arguments between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, one about a monetary case and one about a case of lashes. And now we're going to discuss a difference between the two cases, between money and lashes, and how that is instantiated in the laws of Edom Zomimin. Starts off with a general statement, and then we'll explain. Mashalashin b'mamon v'ein mashalashin b'makot. They divide with money, but they do not divide with lashes. So we're going to learn what divide means in a second. Ketzad, the same question word from Mishnah Aleph. How so? And this use of ketzad just means I'm going to explain what I just said. So I just gave you a general statement, and now I'm going to explain it. They testified about him that he was liable to his fellow 200 zuz. But then the witnesses were found to be scheming. They can divide the money between them. In total, they have to give 200 zuz, but that could be 100 from each person. That's totally fine. You can divide the money between the two witnesses. They don't both have to give 200 zuz, which would end up with providing the guy with 400 zuz instead. So that's the first part of the opening line, Mashalshin b'mamon. They divide with money. Now we're going to explain the second part. Aval, im heiduhu shehu chayav malkut arba'im. But if they testify about him that he was liable for 40 lashes, and then the witnesses turn out to be scheming. Each one of the witnesses is lashed 40 lashes. They don't get the option of splitting the lashes. That was the second part of the introductory line. They do not divide lashes. Everyone gets 40 lashes. You don't give 20 to one and 20 to the other. So there's an interesting question about what's going on in this mission and why this distinction. I'm going to offer a couple of thoughts about it. The first one is it seems to be in part just a procedural question, which is to say that the rabbinic legal system doesn't really have a implementation of a punishment of lashes, which is other than 40. As we'll learn in Perek Gimel with Rav Michael, you assess the person that you're about to lash to see how many lashes they can take, but basically once you're chayav malkut, once you're liable for lashes, you just get lashes. There is no variable amount of lashes that you are liable for. You're just liable for lashes. So there's no sense you might give 20 lashes for a lower level prohibition, but 40 for a higher level prohibition. The number of lashes does not depend on the severity of the prohibition. Either you're liable for lashes or you're not. So in this case, it wouldn't make any sense to split them up because you can't really split lashes. That's just not how lashes works in the rabbinic legal system. Another thing going on, we talked about the two cases that are most intuitive with the Edom Zomimin. In the first case, they try to take out a bunch of money from Plony. And the second case, they try to get Plony executed. And really the question is, Malkut, lashes, fall somewhere between money and execution. It's a corporal punishment, it's bodily, but it's not death. So it's somewhere between paying money and dying and getting executed. So the question is, where does it fall? Is it more like money such that it can be split, or is it more like death, such that it can't be split? You can't kill each of the Edom Zomim in half. Either you execute them or you don't. There's no half execution. So the Mishnah rules that the Malkut is more similar to the death penalty than it is to money. Malkut also, you don't split, you give everyone the amount of Malkut. But it also sort of relates to attention as to what the purpose of the Edom Zomim law is. We saw in the Torah that the purpose was to remove the evil from your midst. The point of the Edom Zomim is not really to restore anything that was done wrong. In fact, ideally, if the legal system worked out correctly, what the Edom schemed to do to their fellow shouldn't have taken place at all. If they schemed to make somebody lose 200 zuz, the judges should have found out, and somebody should have come forward to figure out that they were scheming witnesses, and then the guy never would have had to pay the 200 zuz in the first place. So there's nothing really restorative about Edom Zomim. It's totally punitive. But the idea that they can split the money up between them also makes it feel more restorative. Like, it would be strange to give double the amount of money that they lost out on, or that they tried to lose out on. That would be a sort of a strange outcome. So to sort of match the more restorative intuition of money, the Mishnah rules that you can split the money between the Edom, but you can't split the Malkut. There's no sense that Malkut is restorative at all. It's only punitive. The only point of doing a Malkut is to punish somebody, not to, you know, do justice to anybody else. That's the end of Mishnah Gimel. Tomorrow we'll do Mishnah Dalet, and we'll finally find out how one becomes an Eid Zomim, which was the question that we asked in Mishnah Aleph.